Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
And welcome to part two of our, what has become, Fred, our annual tradition to do a program on our list of not-so-old things.
Not-so-old things. Mm-hmm. Like, some of these things are like thousands of years old. Isn't that really old?
Well, not when they're supposed to be millions or a billion years old.
Millions or billions of years old.
Right? And it turns out that they form quickly, not over millions of years. They are young. And we talked on the first part of the show last Friday about the soft tissue in dinosaur fossils, blood vessels, blood cells, hemoglobin. It's pretty exciting. Collagen.
It is. And, you know, a lot of the public thinks that a lot of things are millions and billions of years old.
Yeah, they think that. And there's so much scientific evidence to show that that's not true. You brought up the carbon-14 they're finding in diamonds.
That's right. And they find them in oil, coal, all these things that are supposed to be millions of years old. And
yeah.
Wait, there's a problem. Carbon-14 turns into nitrogen. Half of it will be turned into nitrogen after 5,700 years.
In 5,000, 6,000 years, half of it's gone. After just thousands of years, there would be no carbon-14 left in an animal or a fossil or a diamond or a piece of amber. There'd be none. And they say some of these things, they say, are a billion years old, and we find carbon-14 in them.
That's right. Carbon-14 is a powerful argument against an old Earth.
Yeah.
These things are supposed to be millions of years old.
Because it's not an anomaly anymore. They find it everywhere it shouldn't be.
That's right. And yet, how are they educated in our public school systems? They hear this idea that carbon dating proves an old Earth.
Carbon-14.
And it doesn't. It actually argues against an old Earth, but they're not given that scientific evidence.
And there's other types of radiometric dating that we've been giving examples of that we are showing, we're documenting, that you cannot trust when they say this rock on the top of the Grand Canyon is 1.3 billion years old on the top, and then they date something in the Precambrian layer way down in the Grand Canyon, and they say, well, that's only 1 billion years old. So the volcanic rock on the top is a third of a billion years older than the rock at the bottom.
300 million years older, and then yet
right.
It's reverse what they tell it should be.
Yeah. So, Fred, I've gone to Yellowstone. If we could continue through our list of not-so-old things.
So you've been to Yellowstone? I've been there, too.
You've been there, too. And when you've gone, have you noticed the petrified trees they have? They have a fence around the more famous ones.
You know, Bob, to be honest, when I went there, I was like really little, so it's been a long time.
Right. Well, I remember the fence and the sign. And, Fred, I tell you, you cannot find a photo of that sign anywhere on the Internet. Because
and what was that sign?
The sign was false. And a young Earth Christian friend of mine working at Haleakala National Park in Maui, Hawaii, argued with the National Park of Yellowstone that they had to take down that sign, and they did, because it was wrong. It said that here in 15 strata, there are petrified trees where forests grew up, they evolved. And they got wiped out, but some of their trees remained petrified, turned to stone. And then another strata was deposited. This all happened over many millions of years. And another forest grew up in place, and that got wiped out, but a few more trees fossilized. They said it happened 15 times over in the same place.
So every million years or so, there'd be a new forest, right?
Yeah, a new forest.
15 times. And so that was the petrified forest, and there was a sign that the public would read about, like you do now on a lot of other things,
yeah,
about how things are millions of years old.
Right.
They're reading the sign that says that this was petrified forests over millions of years. But did something with Mount St. Helens overturn
Mount St.
That?
Helens showed us how those petrified trees got there. What Yellowstone never told the public, but although scientists knew, was that those petrified trees, they had no root systems. Those trees had not grown there. Their roots were all, every petrified tree, their roots were abruptly cut off within a foot or two below the soil. So these trees had been broken down by some catastrophe, like a volcanic blast or a flood, and they had floated, and then they sunk in place, and that's why they're there without roots.
Yeah, so if there's no roots, then you can't argue that they grew there,
right,
and then died, you know, eventually petrified, and millions of years later, they grew again. Scientists knew this, but then something, again, we mentioned this, Mount St. Helens proved that this can happen.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens, hundreds of thousands of trees floating in Spirit Lake after 1980, and lo and behold, Dr. Stephen Austin went there, geologist, and filmed underwater. The trees would get waterlogged. They would float trunk side down because they're heavier, denser, more rocks embedded in the roots. And they would sink in the strata as it's being laid down, deposited because of this volcanic catastrophe.
Yeah, so they'd sink to the bottom of the lake and just stick there.
Right.
And then as this sediment's building up, then you'll get more trees that'll stick there a little bit higher up.
Right.
And then lo and behold, about 1,000 years from now, there'll be a sign at Mount St. Helens that says every million years, trees got buried and fossilized.
And it happened all within months and years, not over eons.
That's right. The good news is they took down that sign.
They took down that sign. And if anybody has a photo of that sign, if you went to Yellowstone up until the mid-90s, anytime from the 60s to the mid-90s, and you got a photo, please, please call us at Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. While you're making your pledge for our telethon, which this is our telethon month, we really need your help to stay on the air for another year. Let us know if you have a photo from your family vacation to Yellowstone with that sign. We want a copy of that sign to document the success that young Earth creationists have had in getting the truth out.
That's right.
All right. So, Fred, then what's the next on our list of not so old things?
Well, there's this thing about European versus Asiatic honeybees.
Oh, yeah. These honeybees, they say that they separated 7 million years ago.
That's quite a breakup.
Yeah,
they're bitter. Those are bitter bees.
Yeah, you're not kidding. They separated 7 million years ago, and since then they haven't talked. Well, I guess not. They're in Europe or Asia. And so a researcher thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting to put them together and see what happens? Because for millions of years they've been apart. And he put them together, and what happened?
They put their fingers in theirs and went la 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 la.
they were able to communicate.
They were amazing.
They communicated just fine, thank you. And that puts into doubt the evolutionary claim that they were separated over geologic periods, because even human beings, when they're separated for 1,000 years, they can't understand one another anymore because language changes.
So they didn't have to wait millions of years for this experiment to prove that they could finally start talking. It happened pretty rapidly.
And this comes from the Public Library of Science. And so the next thing I'd like to point out, Fred, our family went here too, Carlsbad Cavern, and there used to be a sign. This is in New Mexico. Just brilliant cavern.
Another used-to-be-a-sign story?
Another used-to-be-a-sign story that said the cavern formed 260 million years ago, and then, Fred, they changed it to 8 million years ago, then 2 million years ago. And when my family and I went there about, I'd say, 2007, the sign was down.
The sign is down.
The sign was down, and we linked to the official audio tour at the National Park Service website for Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico. And you know what they say? How long did it take this cavern to form? They said the rate of formation depends on the amount of available water, and that's it.
Wow. And it's amazing how water can rapidly eat through solid rock.
That's right. We've given many examples of that on this program over the years. So really fun things that when they say, well, this had to take, you know, tens of millions of years for this cave, this cavern system to form. Well, it depends on how much water is available.
Well, yeah. And, you know, they make these bad assumptions like on stalactites, right? They'll see it grow a certain rate and they'll assume that it's growing at that rate.
Yeah. Like it's always been dry up above this cave. It's always been dry. Yeah. So therefore it's a million years old.
That's right. It's again, there's assumptions built into all of these dating mechanisms.
Right.
They make the assumptions that fit their worldview to try to make things look like millions of years old.
We know that stalactites and stalagmites made of the same minerals can form rapidly. In fact, people, tourists, will put baseball caps and toy trucks and whatever in these caves, and they go back a year later, and they look like they're fossilized.
Yep. Have you ever been to South Dakota, the Black Hills?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Mount Rushmore and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So
just
we went
recently,
to
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, great place. First time for us last year.
The Badlands?
Yeah. Mm. So this last summer we went up there. They're bad.
Yeah.
We actually went to a cave. It's escaping me right now, the name of the cave. It's one of the biggest ones in the world. It's like, the fifth biggest.
Oh, wow.
And the tour guide ranger mentioned this coral, millions of years old. And the group I was with, I mentioned, well, if that truly is coral, I wonder if it has carbon-14 in it. I bet you it does. Bet you I'd win a lot of money on a bet if I challenged this ranger. Hey, let's carbon-14 test this and see if your theory of this being millions of years old is true.
Wouldn't that be great? We offered a lot of money, $23,000, to Jack Horner, paleontologist at Montana State University. He's the one who discovered the soft tissue T-Rex. And, you know, he said, I'll think about it. I'll talk to Mary Schweitzer.
He's the guy that was in the Jurassic Park. He's like the scientists are kind of pretending to be
him. He consulted on the set of all three movies.
Yes.
And sure enough, he found a dinosaur fossil that had soft tissue in it. And he turned us down because he said, you can imagine what the young Earth creationist can do with the results of a test like that. I said, yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, he was in a no-win situation.
No, because the truth, when you're wrong, the truth hurts unless you're humble and you want to know the truth.
And you know where they found some of these bones? It was interesting. This Discover magazine mentioned that Jack Horner said it smelled like cadavers in the lab. It still had an odor to
it. They still have an odor. In fact, that's true in Hell Creek, the Hell Creek Formation.
That's exactly.
In Montana, when our friends up there at the Creation Fossil Museum, they have 100 acres where they excavate, and it smells like death. These things are not tens of millions of years old. So, Fred, then we have New Guinea. There are gold deposits that evolutionists had assumed that the 20 million ounces of gold in the Lahir Gold Reserve took millions of years to deposit. But now geologists are demonstrating that these gold deposits could have formed very quickly in thousands of years or even far more quickly.
That's right. It's a common theme that scientists are discovering ways where these processes can happen very rapidly, yet the public is being told in signs like we've talked about or other literature that this took millions of years.
And it happened in 4 years. Oop, it happened in 30 minutes. Oops.
So they really want to push the millions of years idea. Mm-hmm. I think we know why.
Yeah. Science magazine reported in Idaho, in Box Canyon, Idaho, that canyon, turns out, did not form slowly over millions of years by some stream carving it, but it was carved, Fred, by a flood that was so large that it could have eroded the whole canyon in as little as 35 days, not millions of years.
Yeah, and they have huge boulders that were moved out of this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, it reminds me when they released that water from, I think it was Hoover Dam, the cavitation effect, and this is this process that at the very small level.
It chisels away rock within minutes.
It cuts rock like butter.
Yeah.
And when they released water from this dam and through some of these outlets that they had that went out the side of the mountain, big chunks of rock blew out of the side of the mountain. It destroyed these viaducts that were made of, I think it was 2 feet thick of cement. It destroyed them. And at the bottom of this escape channel that they had as part of the dam, there was a huge boulder sitting there that got moved down. And so you think of all these examples. People don't realize how water can just rip through rock like butter.
Right. Create the water gaps all over the world, like the Delaware Water
Gap. That's right.
Which have no other explanation apart from a catastrophic global flood. Fred, manganese nodules, I love this one. World Almanac did a documentary that I watched a while ago. We put links to this. You could see photographs from it online. Manganese nodules on the ocean floor, there are millions of them, litter the floor of the oceans, different parts of the world. And they allegedly form over geologic time periods. Like they say, each millimeter of this rock formed over, say, 1,000 years.
A millimeter over 1,000 years.
Right. Okay. And so if you have these big rocks on the ocean floor, they say, look, that one right there proves it was 80,000 years old or whatever. Well, it turns out now they have found manganese nodules around beer cans.
Beer cans?
Around beer cans.
That's some old beer.
Yeah. Some really old Coors, Budweiser. So that's typical. their knee-jerk reaction is, oh, look at that rock. Must take a million years to form. That's what they say. And then we have to, we being the young earth creation movement, we have to go and we have to disprove all these claims that they make to support their philosophy, not based on science.
That's right. And hey, it wasn't just beer cans that these things grew on. World War II ships.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought World War II was back in 41 to 45 for the U.S.
45 million years ago?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So it's a half a century old.
1945 million
not
B.C.?
Not tens of thousands of years old. So, Fred, could you talk about the next one, the mitochondrial Eve?
Yeah, so mitochondrial Eve is, there's DNA in the mitochondria, and mitochondria is kind of like the power supply for a cell. So it has its own DNA. We won't get into that technical aspect. But they looked at this mitochondrial DNA, and they discovered that it decayed at a certain rate.
It mutates, right? Like other DNA mutates. They thought, well, if we measured the rate of mutation, we could figure out you only get your mitochondrial DNA from your mother, not your father.
It dated mitochondrial Eve. They looked at this decay or this mutation rate, and it put her at 200,000 years old.
200,000, and we figured, okay, we know that's not right, but it's not 5 million years ago. You know what they did to come up with that 200,000? They mixed in chimpanzee data with human data, and that back in 1998, that's where they got 200,000 years old, because they said, well, we know humans evolved from chimps. You know, we both.
So they already make the assumption that they're the same, right? And then it's going to mess up the data if that assumption isn't true.
So then they did something unique. They actually got real data.
They got real data, and they actually got a lot of this data from the Romanov family, the Russian Revolution
family.
Yeah.
So they got actual DNA from real human beings from all over the world, and they looked at the mutation rates, and they plugged in those numbers, excluding assumptions about chimps evolving from some hominid. And what was the age they got for the first mother of all living human beings?
Well, with the new dating mechanisms, and I'm paraphrasing the scientist, she said mitochondrial Eve would be a mere 6,000 years old.
Yeah, you're paraphrasing pretty accurately. 6,000 years old. That's from Ann Gibbons in Science Magazine. So they couldn't let that stand. So, Fred.
But boy, that date sounds familiar, doesn't it?
6,000 years ago.
If there was a mitochondrial Eve.
For the first, the mother of all human beings. And, you know, they used to think that we all would have descended from 1,000 original women. But it turns out there was one, according to genetic scientists. Fred, so now they couldn't let that stand. So at Cell.com in the American Journal of Human Genetics, they're back to 200,000 years. And we've got a quote online at KGov.com from their article in the list of not so old things. And they said, well, we calibrated the results based on the divergence time of humans and chimpanzees.
So here again, they're making the assumption,
right,
that chimps are related to humans. That's a false assumption.
Right.
You know, they made that same assumption when they tried to determine human mutation rates, the rate of mutation.
Mm-hmm.
When they did the comparison, they found that we would have 3 mutations per generation. Okay, so yeah, right now maybe eyes are rolling over in their heads. Well, what that actually means is, if you do the math on that, that means each breeding couple would have to produce 40 offspring just to keep us from not
from deteriorating as into a species.
Into extinction.
So Darwin had it exactly wrong. What really happens with the genetic load is that species break down. They don't improve genetically. It's entropy. It's physical, and it's information entropy.
And now, as they continue to compare human and chimp DNA, and now that they're finding even more differences, that number of offspring that would be required is now in the tens of thousands. And that whole problem goes away by removing the assumption that chimps are related to humans. They make the same problem here.
This is not going well for evolutionists here with all the evidence on Earth. So let's go into space, Fred. There are supernovas, and when a supernova explodes, like happened in 1054 AD, it turns out for centuries or thousands of years later, you could see the remnant, the supernova remnant, the SNRs. That one is in the Crab Nebula. So can't we find all these supernova remnants that prove that the galaxy we're in is millions of years old?
Well, these supernova remnants, they grade them on stages of how big they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't find any of these stages of supernova remnants that would suggest the universe is billions of years old. They're missing.
They're missing.
And that's baffling to scientists. Where are they?
In fact, the number of SNRs that have been identified corresponds well to the expected number if the universe is less than 10,000 years old.
That's right.
So we have millions of years of missing supernova remnants. Millions of years of missing.
Millions of years, none of them. We don't see any in the stage that we'd expect for a billion-year-old universe.
Fred, how about this? Fossils that have protein in them and DNA and bacteria. We talked about the soft tissue and the T-Rex and the hadrosaur. Well, how about magnolia leaf DNA that comes from a fossil that's supposedly 17 million years old, and that's in Scientific American.
Yep. And then the next one, there's an insect fossil that contains DNA from Nature magazine in 1993.
And that's 120 million years old, Fred, they say. And here's a fish fossil that contains DNA. This is from Science News, 1992. And they say that that fish fossil is 200 million years old, Fred, and it just goes on and on. Then they found living bacteria. Do you remember that?
Living bacteria. Bacteria living. That's alive.
Alive.
And a bee that's supposed to be 30 million years
30
old.
30 million years old. And here's the mother load of all things that are out of place. This is from Nature magazine. They found living bacillus in a rock that's supposed to be 600 million years old.
That's really old bacillus.
It really
how
is.
How did it last that long?
Let's go back out into space.
Okay, how about Saturn's rings?
Saturn's rings are claimed to be 75 million years old or so, but if that were true, they would be very stable. That predicts the stability of the rings, but Fred, it turns out that NASA is documenting that Saturn's rings change dramatically since we've been photographing and mapping them, and that shocks them because they think they're 100 million years old, but they're not. They're young. They're thousands of years old. So we expect the solar system to behave in ways that show it's young.
That's right. So the next one, let's go back to Earth. How about that?
All right.
Because we've already stumped
the
professor out in
this
space.
Yeah, stumped the professor.
Okay, so the next one is the Earth's magnetic field reversals. Now, what's that all about?
Supposedly, the Earth's magnetic field might reverse over long periods of time. But it turns out that the Earth's magnetic field flips fast, and not over millions of years, but at one time, they can show now that the Earth's magnetic field was changing up to 6 degrees per day for several days.
And Dr. Russ Humphrey predicted this in a creation journal, and lo and behold, we end up finding evidence after that journal was published.
Very exciting.
That's how science is supposed to work.
And then polystrate fossils, that's where you have strata, and you have supposedly a million years of strata, but oops, there's a tree that's standing vertically through the whole pile.
And we find those all
strata
over the planet. We have all kinds of examples of polystrate fossils that are going through strata that's supposed to be millions of years apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that tree have rotted after sitting there a million years, Bob?
Yeah, so polystrate fossils, they disprove the claims that these strata were laid down over millions
Absolutely.
Of years.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go back up into space. Fred, there are galaxies, spiral galaxies that are hundreds of millions of years old, but lo and behold, scientists, they've identified this problem now for decades.
It's called the winding up problem.
The winding up problem. If the spiral galaxies were really as old as they're believed to be, they would no longer have their spiral pinwheel shape because the stars in the center of the galaxy move at a rate different from the stars in the arms, such that the arms would all have been deformed. In fact, they would deform within a few million years. We shouldn't see spiral galaxies, yet there they are because God made them that way.
It should look like a featureless disk, like, yet no matter how far back we look with the Hubble telescope, we see what? Spiral galaxies.
Spiral galaxies. And then we have Murdoch University. Scientists there have proved that rocks don't need eons to harden, but by adding bacteria to soft sand, they end up with something like marble. Not like sandstone, something similar to marble very quickly. When there was the global flood, was there bacteria? Of course, there was bacteria throughout the surface of the earth in the floodwaters. And the way God made the earth, the surface of the earth became stable enough for mankind to live on it very quickly. And here are secular scientists showing how it happened.
That's right. Rocks forming rapidly.
Rapidly. Fred, there's a photo of the Grand Canyon with the strata. According to evolutionary geologists, if you look between those perfect boundaries between the strata, they look like they were cut with the edge of a knife.
With the edge of a knife.
There's more than 100 million years missing in between these layers of strata.
Yeah, and we've talked about these flat gaps before. Water is very erosive. Why don't we see any erosion?
Water. 100 million years, Fred. Wind and water and animals and forests. There should be all kinds of, if 100 million years passed between the layers of these strata, as the geologists claim, the evolutionary geologists, erosion is ruthless.
And there is a growing number of secular scientists who admit that the Grand Canyon was carved out by water rapidly because the evidence is overwhelming for it.
And Fred, if that 100 million years did not pass through the geologic column here in the Grand Canyon, well, it didn't pass on the other side of the world either, because time hits the whole world at the same time.
That's right.
So that's the list of not so old things that you and I wanted to share with the audience. And I could see why Professor Fred Ebert at KOA Radio, Stump the Professor, why he would not want to debate you and me on the age of the earth, Fred, because we have a tremendous amount of science, scientific observations from the world's leading scientific publications, he would not be able to answer.
They would stump him.
They would stump him.
They would stump the professor.
So we still offer the debate to Fred Ebert on the age of the earth. It'd be a lot of fun.
I'd love to hear how he explains these problems.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
And so he said he thought he would do the debate. His audience wanted to hear it, but he decided not to. And
well,
you know, I don't know what he would say. I don't know how he could answer these things.
Well, remember, you brought up the winding up problem with the spiral galaxies. Well, in your debate that you have on a video on your website, the Age of the Earth debate.
Age of the Earth debate.
The geophysicist from the University of Colorado, remember what his answer was for that?
Remind me.
He didn't have one.
Right.
They sidestepped it. They went on to the next issue. They could not explain it. He didn't even, a lot of times, well, they at least have a story. They
right, could, at least
they
the story.
Could not explain
and Fred,
it.
So many of these. These are huge observations made all over the world, all over the solar system, all over the galaxy, the universe. These are not little mysteries. These are huge observations, and they don't have answers for so many of these because they blatantly refute the claimed billions of years.
That's right. We're not talking about rare here and there type of findings. No. We find them all the time, and your list is growing, Bob.
Well,
we'll keep adding
fun.
To it, won't we?
It is fun, right? So, Fred, this is February 2011, and February is our annual telethon month to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the radio for another year. KLTT is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. It costs a lot of money to stay on the air. We do not have that money. It has to come from our friends, loved ones, supporters. So please, if you'd like to see Real Science Friday, continue broadcasting. Because KOA, they're secular. They're essentially godless. They don't care if people are told the Bible's not true. But here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Friday, we need your help. Please give. Our goal is $20,000 this month. $20,000. And to get 100 people to pledge $20 a month.
Yes, please keep this on the air because I know a lot of you love it, and it's we need to get this truth out there because most people think everything is millions of years old.
Yeah, so please, if you can, and also tonight, 7 o'clock, Gino Geraci, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, just look it up online. Just go to kgov.com, you'll find it. And Fred Williams, thank you for joining me.
Great to be back, Bob.
What an honor to have you in studio. Our website is kgov.com and 800-8-NUR to call, pledge, or subscribe. May God bless you.